Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue our class, Ministry in the Period of Christ. And I would just like to go over last week's class just a little bit, because we didn't fully cover it. And I'd like to fully cover it here in this class. One of the things that we had talked about last week was the inward obedience of the heart. And we were looking at the passage of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, where Samuel is speaking to Saul. And it basically says this: "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And we looked at the term obey, as in obeying, and to obey, it's Strong's number 8085. And it basically meant this: to hear, have power to hear, and to yield to obey, be obedient, to hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention, obedience, discern, give ear, understand. It's obeying. We'll say it this way, and I can't remember if we said it this way in our last class. It is hearing the voice of the Lord unto obedience, the turning of the heart unto the Lord. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what the Apostle John said in the book of Revelation. He said, "I heard the voice that spake with me." And then he says, "And I turned to see the voice." He heard, and his hearing was unto obedience. Okay? So just kind of keep that in mind. We're going to be looking at that in our current class right now. But this is from our last class. Now, we also looked at a Hebrew Bible dictionary in Spanish, and I kind of translated it from... It's the Hebrew Bible Dictionary, Chavez. That's the author who wrote it. And he basically said this: heart that listens. And I think he penned it perfectly. Heart. Heart that listens. Not a natural ear that listens, but a heart that listens, mind that understands. A heart that listens unto obedience. Okay? It's the heart that listens. Because, see, man speaks and we use man's words. We use the language of man. And man's words can only go so far. They go as far as the natural ear into the natural mind. And that's it. But when the Lord speaks, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." That's different. When the Lord speaks, He speaks into the heart. He speaks into the soul. Man cannot do that. Man cannot do that. Okay? Only the Lord can touch the heart. Only the Lord can speak to the heart. Only the Lord can speak to the soul. All right? Heart that listens, mind that understands. And we looked at the passage of that it gave us, because it also gave us a passage in 1 Kings. And it was giving King Solomon as an example. And I want to go ahead and read that passage. And I don't think we looked at this verse, well, this particular verse in this passage, but we'll read it today, okay? This is 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 3. And I'll just go ahead and read. "And Solomon loved the Lord." And see, this was the whole situation. Solomon loved the Lord, okay? And I won't go into all that because we already covered that in our last class. "Walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." Okay? Then, "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." Verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night." Okay? And I'll use our diagram. Well, let me just continue reading here. In a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy." And then he goes on saying this, verse 7, "And now, O Lord, my God," not the God of someone else, but my God, a relationship with the heart. "You are my God," as David said, "the Lord, my God," versus King Saul, who said, "The Lord, thy God." Okay. "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father." And listen to this. "I am but a little child." Now I'll go to our diagram. The Lord. Now, look at it this way. I know that King Solomon, and we said this in our last class, I know that King Solomon is a type of Christ. He is a type of the risen Christ. Okay. But Solomon was a man just as you and I. And we did say that. We covered that in our last class. Solomon was literally a man like you and I. Okay? He was of the people of God. He was of Israel. Okay? So here we are. Where does it say? Verse 7. "Thy servant," remember? Now Solomon humbling himself before the Lord. He says, "I'm king, but thou art my king, and I am thy servant." And that's going to be real important in these next following classes that we're going to do. "I am king, but thou art my king." See, there was no doubt in Solomon's mind who the true king was. "I, thy servant." The Lord is king. Solomon knows it. But he says this, the Lord appears, listen, with our diagram, the Lord appears to Solomon by night. Okay? By night. I'm thinking of all these Spanish words. Anyway, okay, by night. He says, "Thy servant is but a child." Solomon understood something that we as believers refuse to confess, something that we as believers hold on to in the vanity, listen, in the vanity of our own pride, or shall I say it this way, in the pride of our own vanity. We hate to confess that we are ignorant. We hate to confess that we are ignorant of the indwelling Christ. We hate to confess excuse me, that we need the Lord. Okay? We hate to confess that we have no wisdom, no understanding, no stature, no anything apart from Christ. And I like the way I said that. We hate to confess the pride of our ignorance. And that's what it is. The pride of our ignorance. We hate to confess that we had no life before we were born again. But that's exactly what it is. Before you were born again, you had no life. Christ is your life. When Christ appears, life appears. Okay? "I am but a little child." I love that. A beautiful confession. It's like, I have the understanding of a child. I'm ignorant of the Lord. Okay, goes on. Verse 8. "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Verse 9. "Give therefore thy servant," and in the King James it says, "understanding." And we looked at that. I've got a note here in my Bible in the margins. It's a hearing heart. It's Strong's number 8085, the word we've been looking at. An obedient heart. A heart that hears unto obedience. And that's what it is. I mean, he even spells it out. "Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart." Just the way this commentator said. heart that listens unto obedience. Perfectly saying it. Here's Solomon. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. And we say, oh yes, to do the will of God. No. Remember, Saul thought he did the will of God. And Samuel comes and says, by the Lord, to obey is better than sacrifice. Well, I thought I obeyed. No, you didn't. To the 40 years in the wilderness with the Israelites who dropped in the wilderness, they thought it was all about doing something, physically doing something, going in and take possession of the land. No. They were not obedient. Because earlier we read the passages, and I won't go into it, but you can look at it if you like, once again in previous classes. They turned from the Lord and said, we will not hear the voice of the Lord anymore. We will not see His image, His great image, or His glory. Lest our imagination, our illusion, come to an end. Lest we die. They were not obedient in the heart. Okay? Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. An obedient heart is a heart that is obedient unto the voice, hears the voice, and turns to see the voice. Being turned, the Lord appears and continues in that appearing. That's obedience unto the voice and obedience unto the vision. Obedience unto the heavenly voice, obedience unto the heavenly vision. And you find it wrapped up with the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul, where John says, I heard the voice that spake with me, and I turned to see the voice. And being turned, I saw. Beautiful description of Christ, whiter than wool, whiter than the snow, light burning bronze, fire bright shining, brighter than the light of the sun. It's light, the light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But Paul precedes all of that beautiful passage with, as God hath commanded to light, the light to shine out of darkness, so hath He shined in our hearts. That's where it is, our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But it's in our hearts, okay? It's the obedience of the heart. Obedience unto the voice, turning. I heard the voice, I turned to see the voice, and it's obedience unto the heavenly vision. That is continuing in the appearing of Christ. Continuing obedient. As Paul said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And the Lord, when he shows up there, Acts 26:16, I have appeared unto thee, for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Obedient unto the heavenly vision. And it's not a one-time thing. It's like breathing. Breathing is not a one-time thing. Thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Paul continued in the appearing of the Lord. Paul was obedient unto the heavenly vision. And Paul was, before that, obedient unto the voice. Because he heard the voice. Okay, and we're going to actually look at that passage here in a little bit. But so, here's King Solomon. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. A heart that is obedient unto thy voice. And a heart that is obedient unto thy vision. Unto thy face. Unto thy appearing. And I know what the Christian religion of man has done with this passage with an obedient heart, and then they give definitions. Or obedient unto the voice of the Lord, and they give definitions by outward things. Okay, now you need to do this, and you will be obedient unto the voice of the Lord. No. A heart. It has to do with the heart. It has nothing to do with what you do literally in the natural. No. If you have not fulfilled inward obedience, then all outward obedience, all outward doing, action, motion is from disobedience. Okay? Now listen to this passage. And the Lord is ready to punish all disobedience when thy obedience is fulfilled. See, immediately, once you're obedient unto the voice in your heart, and your heart turns to the Lord, and with an unveiled face, you behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you'll drop everything that is not the Lord in the outward. Instantly. There's no doubt about it. You will naturally drop it. Okay? You'll say like Ephraim said, what have I to do with these idols? With our diagram? What have I to do with my vain imaginations? What have I to do with my illusions? When I desire the substance, the face of the Lord. And then you pray, Lord, give me, thy servant, an obedient heart. Obedient unto thy voice and obedient unto thy vision. And obedience unto thy appearing. It's basically obedient unto the purpose, right? Unto the Lord's purpose. All right, so it goes on. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between, it says good and bad, it's like good and evil. Good, light, and the Lord saw the light, that it was good. Between good and evil. What is substance and what is vain illusion? To discern Christ, not Christ. Life, death. Light, darkness. Okay? For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the verse we didn't read last week, but I'll read it right now, is this, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. The speech pleased the Lord. This asking, what Solomon asked, pleased the Lord. Your mind has probably already gone where my mind's about to go. The speech pleased the Lord. I love that. I love the way that's written. It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this. Here we go. Give thy servant, who am but just a child, I confess my ignorance, I confess my littleness, I confess that I am but a child. Give therefore thy servant, who is but a child, an obedient heart. A heart that continues to be obedient unto your voice, obedient unto your appearing. The Lord appeared to Solomon. The Lord appeared to Solomon. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. And the speech pleased the Lord. I want us to look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. I love it. And your mind, your heart has probably already gone there even before I said the verse. It says this, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. It pleases God to remove the veil and reveal the son. In me, Paul says, in me, in me. It pleased God. When it pleased God, it pleases the Lord. And how it said of Solomon, and the thing and the speech pleased the Lord. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. And the speech pleased the Lord. See, it pleases the Lord to reveal His Son. I haven't done a scripture study or a word study on that, but I don't think there's much outside of Christ that pleases the Lord, because His Son is His object. His Son is the eternal object in view. The Father loveth the Son. Loveth the Son. In the Father's mind, there is no other. Because remember, Abraham is also a type of Christ. Now take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. But what about Ishmael? Not in the Father's, not in God's mind, not in God's heart. No, there's only one son, the son I provide. There's only one. It's beautiful. And it pleases God, it pleases the Father to reveal this one. Okay? So it's beautiful. I didn't cover that in our last class, but I did want to make mention of it. Just for that reason, because it is just so beautiful. And I mean, to me, that should encourage us. You know, in one of the scriptures of the New Testament, where it says, oh gosh, if we ask according to His will, He heareth us. He does. He answers what pleases Him. Did the Lord bless Solomon? Yes. He answers what pleases Him. The best prayer, the best confession is, Lord, I'm ignorant, I'm blind of the indwelling Christ. Let it please You to reveal Thy Son in me. Give Thy servant, give me an understanding heart. An obedient heart, obedient unto the voice, obedient unto the heavenly vision. It's beautiful, beautiful prayer. So we did that. We went there. We looked at that. Let me write this down before I forget it. There we go. We also looked at Abraham. We began looking at Abraham towards the end of the class, and we'll continue with Abraham in this class. We looked at the context of the passage is the offering up of Isaac. And we looked at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 10, where Abraham sees a place from afar off. The Lord comes to test Abraham. See, and this is the deal. As we continue, because before this, before Genesis 22, we can look at this verse. This is Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Genesis 17:1, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Genesis 18:1, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Do you see it? And then we have Genesis 22. See, Abraham continued in the appearing of the Lord. Abraham, in every appearing, how did I say in our last class? In every appearing of the Lord, there is a judgment that takes place in our hearts. And forgive me if I'm not saying it the way I said it in our last class. I know I said it better in our last class. But every appearing of the Lord is unto judgment in our hearts. Why? Because the Lord judges between the living and the dead. The living and what? Here it is, our vain imagination, our vain illusion. What is dead? Light and darkness. With every appearing. And with every appearing of the Lord, we have to, well, we don't have to, but if we are obedient unto the heavenly vision, as Paul was, we will release our illusion of what we think is our life. We will release our imagination of what we think is our life. And confess and turn to the Lord. You are my life. You are my life. Your face, your appearing is that which I desire. Not my vain imagination. Not my vain illusion. Remember how I said it earlier? I mean, we're so stubborn. We are so slow to confess that before we were born again, we had no life. We're slow to confess that because in our vain imagination, in the vanity of our hearts, the illusions of our minds, we carry over everything that we were before we were born again. It doesn't work that way. All comes because in reality, all came to the cross, was buried, and only Christ rose again. Now, that reality that is eternally established in the heavens, listen to this, now must be eternally established in our hearts. The inside. In our hearts. In our hearts. How did the commentator say it? Heart that listens. And how do I basically say it? A heart that listens unto obedience. A heart. A heart issue. Why? Because in reality, if you are born again, you have no life but Christ. What keeps this other thing? What is it that keeps us thinking that we have some life apart from Christ, apart from Him who truly is our life? What is it? Here it is with our diagram. Our vain imagination. Our vain illusions. That's it. Okay. So going on with Abraham. Abraham continued in the appearing of the Lord. Okay. Not only was he dealt with according to what was not life, not the Lord. Okay. Now he's being dealt with in his heart according to that which the Lord gives. See, Isaac was promised of God. Isaac was given of God. Abraham knew it. But what do you love? Listen, Isaac with Abraham, Isaac was something Abraham could touch, could feel, could smell. Okay? But what is more important? What is your heart's desire? Right? Will it become an idol? That which the Lord gives, will it become an idol? That which is a substitute for God? That which is a substitute of God? Or will the Lord alone remain? David said it this way, one have I desired. That's it. The Lord gave me a kingdom. Take it. Saul, I'm not going to fight for it. You can have it. I don't want it. Absalom, my son, you want it? Have it. It's yours. One have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, all the days of this fleshly temple. That I may, he goes on to say this, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. There it is. In the face of the Lord. One have I desired. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To dwell here. In the house of the Lord. To behold His beauty. Okay. So the Lord comes to Abraham. God did test. He proved Abraham. Where's your heart, Abraham? Where's your heart? Is it in that which you can see? With the natural eye? Or is your heart in that which cannot be seen with the natural eye, but with the heart? Remember, it's only when the heart turns to the Lord that the veil is removed. Not, it didn't say when the natural eye turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. No. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So the Lord comes to test, to prove Abraham. And we love it. I'll just recap just a little bit because it's going straight into our next class. And he said, behold, here I am. And he says, take now thy son whom thou lovest. What do you love more? My appearing? Reality? Or that which I give, that which you can see with your natural eye, okay? And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Beautiful. Abraham rises up early in the morning. Don't you love that? And rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. That's it. We know the place is the cross. Here. See, in reality, I like the way Paul put it. See, real quick with Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus goes to the cross, is crucified, Jesus is buried, Jesus is raised, and now Paul, after being born again, enters into this reality and he confesses this: I am crucified with Christ. What happened in reality is a now reality. Where? Heard JW say this morning, Brother Lumen, during our Sunday service, in my heart. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel lives, the vessel's here, but not I, the life of the vessel. Christ liveth in me. That's the difference. Here it is. The place. See, it's happened in reality. What is eternally established must be eternally established in our hearts. Abraham rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, there it is, the cross, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It's beautiful. And then we said that that's basically where Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And it goes on, and then he says to the men that were with him, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Don't you love that? And I know that in the Christian religion of man, we have so misdefined the term worship. We've called worship unto God as singing songs. We've called worship unto God as lifting up our hands. We've called worship unto God as being bowed down and being solemn before the Lord. See, those are outward things that we do. Please listen. Without the inward obedience of the heart, all those outward things mean nothing to the Lord. Nothing. Here's true worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, where I am obedient unto the voice, and I'm obedient unto the appearing. And we'll see that. And in verse 6, take the wood, there it is, of the burnt offering, and laid it upon his son Isaac. Perfect picture of Christ. Abraham in his heart is basically bringing everything to the cross. What has happened, what is in reality, is now being established in his heart. Okay? Verse 9, and they came to the place. Yeah, and I wrote my comment here. That which is done in reality must be established in our hearts, which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. Perfect. Excuse me. All right. So now, going on with the notes that we didn't finish from our last class. Chapter 22, verse 11 through 14. And the angel, let's see, where am I? Verse 11, 14, we went 22. Oh, we ended that passage. I'll just finish reading it. And Abraham built an altar there, that's verse 9, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How could he do an outward thing? How could he do such a thing? The only reason why is right up here. He saw the place from afar. He lifted up his eyes. He rose up early in the morning. He went yonder and worshipped. His heart was obedient unto the voice. Therefore, everything that he does outwardly is in obedience versus disobedience. Remember how I said in a previous class where Jesus says, in that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I raise the dead? Didn't I feed the hungry? Didn't I do this to the poor? And then what will the Lord say? Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, you workers of evil. I never knew you. Face-to-face relationship. Face-to-face relationship. And the angel of the Lord... Oh, let me read verse 10 again. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Why? Because he had already fulfilled inward obedience. Now, outward obedience, no problem. No problem. It's a done deal. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And before I read any more on that verse, and he said, Here am I. I want to start with verse 1 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove. He came to test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And one of the things that I'd written down was basically this. I know I've got the comments somewhere around here. Here it is. Each encounter with the Lord, each appearing of the Lord, is faced alone. Okay? Is faced alone. Because even when Jesus of Nazareth walked in the flesh, he would pass by and he would just say, you, follow me. The encounter was with one soul, a single encounter. And he would go on. And he'd do other things or say other things, and then all of a sudden, you, follow me. Each encounter, each appearing with the Lord is faced alone. I want us to, we will. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled with him a man with him until the breaking of day. There you go. We face it alone in our hearts. We face it alone. Okay? Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved, or snatched away. Part, pluck, rid, strip, taken out. And you may ask, well, what does all this have to do with ministry? Brother and sister, first of all, Solomon ministered unto the Lord and ministered unto the people. But from where? From being a child? No. From being before the face of the Lord. By being obedient in his heart unto the voice and unto the appearing of the Lord, the heavenly vision. That's what he said. That I may judge thy people righteously, not with an unjust judgment, not after the seeing of the natural eye, but after the seeing of that which cannot be seen with a natural eye, that I may judge between Christ and what is not Christ, what is life and what is death, what is light and what is darkness. Jacob, the patriarch, he ministered to his family. Abraham, we'll see it in this passage in a second, he ministered to his family. And you see it. Why? Because the Lord appears to Jacob. The Lord just didn't appear to Jacob out of the blue. See, Jacob's father was Isaac. Isaac's father was Abraham. Can you see it? The blessing continues. It continues. Obedience continues. All right. The other verse I wanted us to look at was, why I say that it's faced alone. And I'll just give you the verse and kind of talk a little bit about it. It's Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 7, and Acts chapter 26, verse 13 through 15. In the accounts, Paul, Saul at the time, Saul of Tarsus, is going, and he is thrashing the body of Christ. That's what he's doing. And as verse 3 of chapter 9, I'll go ahead and read it, of Acts. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. That voice didn't speak to all of them. It spoke to Saul. Saul, Saul. In Genesis, we see, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Very, very, very specific. Why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. Listen, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. One heard the voice, and one turned to see the voice that spake with him. The others heard a voice, but were not obedient unto the voice. Saul faced the appearing of the Lord alone. Though many were with him, he faced the appearing of the Lord alone. And the Lord had been dealing with his heart beforehand, because that's why the Lord said, Saul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. He was resisting the dealing of the Lord in his heart. He was resisting the voice of the Lord speaking to his heart, speaking to his soul. And then finally, he yielded. And his heart did turn unto the Lord. And behold, the Lord appears. Very, very beautiful order. Very beautiful. Acts 26:16. Actually, we'll start with verse 13. It's the same account. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. I saw this. This is what I saw. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. I have no clue what they saw, but this is what I saw. And we were all fallen to the ground, to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And it goes on. That's fine. All fallen to the ground. See, Saul said, man, this happened to everybody. But I was not disobedient unto the voice. and I have not been disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I have continued, regardless of the others, I have continued obedient. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart unto thy voice and unto thy heavenly vision. The Lord may indeed deal with a whole fellowship, with a whole congregation, but each one of us in our hearts will be dealt with. Whether to continue in obedience or to turn back and be disobedient. It'll happen that way. It'll happen that way. We'll face the Lord alone when it comes down to it. But His appearing, listen, is unto life. Always. His appearing, listen, His appearing is unto life. Not the taking away of what we think is our life. No. But unto Him who truly is our life. And that's the thing. Why is it so tough? Why is it so hard for us to let go? Why is it so hard to yield? Why do we resist so much? Because we think that this vain imagination, this vain illusion is our life. That's why. That's it. We just don't know Him who is our life. And we don't want to confess it. We don't want to confess our ignorance. But I love Solomon. I'm but a child. I'm ignorant. I know nothing. I'm but a child. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. That it be obedient unto thy voice. Obedient unto thy appearing. It's just beautifully laid out. Okay, let's go ahead and continue. And the angel of the Lord called unto him, there's the voice, out of heaven, okay, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I've got a note here. First, you hear the voice, then you obey the voice. Obedience of the heart unto seeing. Okay, I'll keep on reading. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son. For I know that thou fearest God, versus fearing the loss of your vain imagination, versus fearing the loss of your illusion, versus fearing the loss of that which is of the Lord. You in your heart would rather have the Lord Himself versus that which the Lord can give outwardly. You in your heart, I know, would rather be obedient unto His voice and unto His appearing. You in your heart, I know, would rather be obedient unto the substance, not the shadow. But the substance, the reality, His face. It's beautiful. Unlike the children of Israel, where the Lord said, oh, that they would remember the children of Israel that were disobedient, like Saul, who is disobedient. You have left, Sam, that's what Samuel told Saul, you have left from following the Lord. And they feared the loss of their own lives. They feared, yeah, the loss of what you consider of value for God. Fear loss of your illusion. The children of Israel, Exodus 20:20 and Deuteronomy 5:29. They feared. I'll just read that real quick. It was in a previous class. Yeah. See if I can find it real quick here. Exodus 20:20. And Moses said to the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, versus the loss of their imagination and illusions. I love that. I know that thou fearest God, and not the loss of your illusion, and not the loss of your imagination. Though it has cost you your illusion and your imagination, you fear the Lord. Okay? And then verse 13, remember, there is first the hearing of the voice, being obedient unto the voice, turning to see the voice. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram. Now, we know that wasn't just an animal. No. Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. Behold, an appearing of Christ. The true sacrifice. The true Son that God receives. And it goes on. Caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I love that. Abraham hears the voice of the Lord speaking to him. Is obedient. He turns to see the voice. And behold, he lifts up his eyes. See? I love that. I love the way it's written. He lifts up his eyes. Paul said it. Set your affection on that which is above, not on that which is on the earth. He lifted up his eyes. Same way earlier. He lifted up his eyes, saw the place from afar. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram. Don't you hear John, the apostle? It's like, I heard the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I turned to see the voice. Beautiful. He sees basically the Lord and says, this is the one that you receive. This is the one that you desire. Okay? And then that was verse 14. Excuse me. Verse 13. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is written, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He shall be seen. In no other mount. No other place. The Lord provides. The Lord, listen, the Lord provides himself. Obedience of the heart unto the voice, and obedience of the heart unto the appearing, the heavenly vision. All right. Genesis 22:15-19. Okay. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham, once again, out of heaven. Remember, from whence we look for his appearing, not from the earth. No, no, no. Our citizenship is in heaven, where Christ dwelleth, from whence we look above. Okay? Out of heaven, the second. I love this. The Lord speaks, the Lord calls Abraham, all right? At the very beginning, the Lord tests Abraham. Offer thy son unto me, in the mount that I tell you of, in the place that I tell you of, a sacrifice, dealing with his beloved son, the son whom thou lovest, and dealing with a sacrifice, offer him, and the place, and the manner, the wood, the days, the 3 days. The Lord appears as the first in relation to blood, as a sacrifice, okay? Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And I won't read it, but I'll just halfway quote it, partly quote it. To them that look for him shall he appear the second, apart from sin, apart from relation to sin. Okay? That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. And said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, because you've done this, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only Son, here it is. Now, when we say, oh, because Abraham bound up Isaac, and because Abraham laid Isaac on the altar, and because Abraham lifted up his hand with a knife. No, that's all outward. No, because you have done this thing, because you were obedient in your heart, and your heart was obedient unto the voice where your heart turned, and you were obedient unto the heavenly vision because you've continued in my appearing, and now you lifted up your eyes and you beheld behind you a ram caught in the thickets. Because thou hast done this thing, you have been obedient in your heart, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee. Do you remember in our previous classes? The eternal blessing. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. Because you were obedient in your heart to the voice, because you were obedient in your heart to the heavenly vision, I will bless thee with my countenance, with my face, and you will be blessed. I love it. The scripture, it declares all the same. It all fits together perfectly. That in blessing I will bless thee. That's it. And we want to take that blessing and make it something lesser than what it is. No. It is the appearing of the Lord. It is the face of God. It's the light of his countenance. That's the true blessing. That is the eternal blessing. As God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And we all, with an unveiled face, behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That in blessing, I will bless thee. The passage goes on, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All right? He gives this. All this is going to happen because thou hast been obedient in thy heart. Thou hast heard in thy heart unto obedience. And thou hast been obedient unto the heavenly vision. Because remember, Genesis 12, 7, 17, 1, 18, 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham. And then the Lord appeared to Abraham. And then the Lord appeared to Abraham. This thy see me, and I see me hereafter. Abraham was obedient to the heavenly vision. He continued obedient unto the voice. And he turned his heart to see the voice. And being turned, he saw the heavenly vision. Okay, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because this is the reason why. This is the reason all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. See, we do not understand the impact of a heart that is obedient unto the Lord. We just don't know. We're like Solomon. I'm but a child. We just don't know. Solomon prayed for an obedient heart. Because of his obedience, his glory, his fame went forth out throughout the whole world. And many came to see his glory. We just don't know. We don't know. We're ignorant, and we have no desire to confess our ignorance before the Lord. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Just so simple. He continues in purpose. And because he continues in purpose, all the rest is an automatic. You know, Jesus walked in purpose before the face of his Father when he walked, you know, on the earth. And all who were in his vicinity were blessed because of it, whether they realize it or not. And it wasn't in what he did or what he didn't do. No. They were just blessed because of him, himself because he was present. But see, we the same, we don't recognize him who is present. We recognize outward things that happen that we can see, that we can understand with our natural eyes and our natural brain. But we don't recognize the blessing that is present. His glorious face. We must be obedient unto the voice. We must be obedient unto the heavenly vision. And there is blessing therein. There is. Okay. Genesis 26, verse 1 through 5. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Okay. This is now Isaac, his son. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines of Gerar, verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him. Guess what? Guess what? I don't want to say it's... No. Abraham brought up his children by showing them the greater, by declaring unto them the greater, by setting them in the way that they should go, by directing their hearts unto the Lord. Okay? And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land. Listen, he's right here. He's right here. Oh, there's a famine. There's something going on here that's affecting me. But what does the Lord tell him? Go not down. Do not remove. Go not down into Egypt, into the abode of the dead. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, but dwell here. Okay? And then it goes on, verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I love that. I love that. I've got to circle that verse. That's verse 3, Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. Sojourn, listen, sojourn in this land. And then what does the Lord say? And I will be with thee. Versus your heart turning unto your illusion, unto your imagination, and you dwelling in the land of Egypt, and then because thou hast left me, I cannot be with thee. Now, okay, now I'll say this. If you are born again, the Lord can never forsake you nor leave thee. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's impossible. It's impossible. But he cannot be in what you are doing. Remember the children of Israel? They were disobedient in their heart. Therefore, outward disobedience was just natural. The Lord says, go up, take the land. They say, no, we can't do it. And they say, the Lord says, fine, you'll die in the wilderness. Oh, no, we're sorry. We'll go and we'll do it. But what does the verse say? Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant and Moses remained in the land. And what did Moses say? Don't go up. The Lord is not with you. He's not among you in this thing, in what you're about to do for him. Inward obedience of the heart is everything. Okay? And I will bless thee. Don't go down to Egypt. Remain here, and I will be with you here. And I will be with thee. And listen to this. And will bless thee. But we think that blessing is something in the natural. It's not. It's his face, the eternal blessing. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed, there's our word, my voice. He goes on to say, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And I wrote down right here, inward obedience of the heart keeps all in purpose. It will keep all directed unto purpose. And I also wrote this, you cannot keep my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws, etc., etc., except you obey His voice. The inward obedience of the heart. So my time is pretty much gone. We've covered a lot. But it comes to this, that we would be willing to confess our own ignorance, that we would be willing to confess our own, our own pride before the Lord. You know, just like Solomon, I'm but a child. I think I am something. Now, I don't think Solomon said that, but of us personally, right? Of us personally, I think I'm something, but in reality, I'm probably nothing at all. But I'm ignorant because this little imagination, this little illusion that is before my face is what I think I am. But nevertheless, give unto thy servant an obedient heart that is obedient unto thy voice, that is obedient unto thy heavenly vision. And let it please thee to reveal thy Son in me. Amen. We'll go ahead and end our class with that. And may we pray that very exact same prayer, that we may walk in the eternal blessing, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the appearing of the Lord, the glory of God found exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you guys. We'll see you in our next class.